property, but on this dirt road, there's often, there's often just filled potholes. And because it was a private road, and potholes were developed. There, I was, my sister and I, small children in the back seat, and this was in the days before you had the shoulder strap going across you, so we just had these lap belts. And if it wasn't just tight enough, we'd be driving over these potholes and bouncing up and down. We thought it was great fun. I'm not sure my father did when he had his transmission inspected. Today, when we go out there, visit my parents, it's a different experience. There is a neighbor who has this piece of equipment, and I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but it fills in the potholes. The way it does this is by grinding up the road in front of it, the dirt road, and then packing it down behind it. Never heard of such a thing, but it's kind of like a Zamboni for dirt roads. By the time it's all done, the roads are nice and smooth. Now, he doesn't get paid for this. He doesn't do it as part of his living. It's just, he's a neighbor. He lives there. And he does this to make sure that this road is nice and well taken care of. So everybody who lives on this road benefits having a road that's in decent shape. And the neighbor who does all this work, he benefits too, especially his transmission, when he drives his own car down the road. And I share this with you today because it's a very interesting example of what ethicists have called enlightened self-interest. By enlightened self-interest, what I mean is it's something that is neither pure selfishness, where you're just looking out for yourself, and it's not pure altruism, where you're just doing good in order to just, you know, show an expense. But it's somewhere in the middle. And that's kind of an Anglican way of thinking, isn't it? Via media, find something right in the middle. It enlightens self-interest, something where you recognize you do something for the world around you. It helps people out. And to you, it benefits the community. And you, as an individual in this community, benefit as well, because we are all connected, we all share certain places, certain our immediate surroundings, and when the community around us is nice and well taken care of, the good things are happening, everyone benefits. In the gospel story, we just heard that Jesus giving some very strong words to his disciples. He told them if anyone wants to be his disciple, they must take up their cross and follow him. He said whoever tries to save their life will lose it, but those who lose their life will find it. And that's pretty interesting and also very cryptic. You know, what does Jesus mean? Certainly it's not the case in today's day and age where all of us are meant to literally take up the cross and be martyred for the cause of the name. But the thing we can do, and I think in today's day and age this is very necessary, is to move away from pure selfishness towards something that is more in the middle. Something where you do good for the people around you, for the community around you, and do yourself benefit from just having a pleasant place. What actually is the problem with pure selfishness, which I think is probably more prevalent than we think in our world around us. One bit of reading I've been doing lately is a novel by Aldous Huxley, and it's called A Brave New World. It was written in about the beginning of the 20th century, and it's centered in the future, and it's one of these dystopian novels, you know, created a world in his imagination where everything is controlled. People's destinies, even from the point of conception, were years after the problems of the big control society became so bad that people started to rise up, and they were rioting, and they were protesting, and they were just causing a whole big ruckus, you know, making lots of noise, you know, destroying things. This happens. And then the police came in, and these spray guns that you might see today, but instead of tear gas or something really unpleasant, they had more of this drug soma. They just sprayed people with it, they were riding, and next thing you know, they're like, oh, it feels pretty good. What was I angry about? And for the time being, it's all went underground again. And the point of this novel was that you're distracted by momentary pleasures, or just the momentary, what feels good in this moment, focusing only on myself, and we're kind of distracted from larger issues. You know, today we might not see this through government planning or centralized location determining where people are. But there's certainly a lot of marketing efforts out there. Certainly a lot of things in this world are so tied to selfishness, where certain individuals are getting ridiculously wealthy, many, many others are struggling. And if we are just distracted by pretty frivolous pleasures, then really keeps any meaningful work or meaningful change being done. You can see an example of this happening in my own life just yesterday. I've been kind of got involved in this little game on my phone, Pokemon Go. It's kind of entertaining. You know, yesterday there was this special going on. And all of a sudden I found myself, ooh, this is the Pokemon that I've been wanting to catch for a long time. There are tons of them all over, like Charmander Day or something like that. Next thing I know, a couple hours have gone by. I'm saying to myself, why did I do that? It's supposed to be a momentary little diversion. You know, a couple hours of my life just went by focusing on this silly game. And that is a silly example, but there are many others in this world where we get distracted from real issues. And it ends up, sadly, our children and our earth are really paying the price. But it all comes down to this ethic. You know, if we have an ethic of selfishness and self-pleasure right in that very moment, you know, it can be very distracting from trying to make meaningful, lasting improvement. Because the idea behind not a selfish-centered self-interest, but an enlightened self-interest, is one where the world benefits around you. And being part of that world, you benefit too. It's about raising everybody up together. You know, the rising tide that lifts all boats. And we see examples of this in the church. I mean, just because of the nature of the church, it runs off of volunteers, it runs off of donations, it runs off of people giving of themselves. So even if it's somebody cutting the grass, or coming in and cleaning the church, you know, out of their own time, does everybody in the church kind of good for that? Sure. Come in, the place looks nice. Do the people do that benefit? Same thing. Come in, the place looks nice. You feel comfortable. You feel good. Whether it's a scout troop who will go out and clean a park so that everybody can enjoy it. When we have people who invest in really, really good schools, then we have a society that thinks really well. When we have a food pantry that not only gives food to people that are hungry, but ensures and protects people's dignity so they're treated as human beings. Now we don't just have people coming for food, we have neighbors and we have friends. But Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let them take up their cross and follow me. And one of the ways we do this is by finding every day just one way to make a difference. Just one big way to set aside the way of selfishness and do something that benefits the world around you. Know, lifting everyone up. Is this literally taking up your cross? Not exactly, but it's a great step in the right direction. So every day, take one step, and the next day, take another, and then the next day, take another. Because what I want for you is to imagine being here makes a difference in some ways never even know why. Remember probably a couple of years ago when we moved our daily services online. And I could tell the difference it was making, at least for me, when people would show up. They would say hello, good morning, in the comment section. So I'd be doing morning prayer and see this going on. And then I heard of one person who she's home bound right now. There's a point where she was hospitalized. And if you've ever been hospitalized, you know it can be a pretty lonely experience, pretty isolating. And she told me as she was there, the nurses got the message pretty soon. They start coming in about 9:30. She's sitting there with her phone, participating in the daily services, and saying to the nurse, "Hold on, I can't do it right now. I'm doing my church." Because we were doing this every month. And these are the kind of stage steps.